On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Some say they're my favourite team. Some say we talk about and on about every single sports show that we do. Others say they've got England internationals and they won a national championship. All we know, we're talking about the Rugby Club Girls tonight. But first, let's have a few names from the weekend of our young talent. Sports Awards winners Fond and Colts and league leaders Long Bennington both moved into the last 16 of the Notts Youth League Cup under 18 sections on Saturday. The Colts needed extra time and penalties before overcoming Babworth. Max Lockwood hitting a brace. An easy day for Benno. Two goals from Corbin Reid and Sam Wright, helping them to demolish West Bridgeford by 6-1. No luck though for Newark Town or the RHP under-15s in their competition. Both bowing out of cup football for another season. Newark Rugby Club's under-16s returned from Doncaster on Sunday with an impressive 41-7 victory. And it was also a good day for the under-14s, who recorded a victory over Stamford. Well done to all those at Newark AC who ran in the Lincoln and Gainsborough District Schools at Nettleham on Friday. Some excellent results there. Newark Athletic Club's Niamh Monaghan finished third in the junior girls race at Lincoln. And how did the twins get on? You'll have to wait a few minutes to find that one out. Congratulations to Newark ABC's Sam Hardy, who won his latest fight on Friday evening. And we are told Sam boxed well, controlled each round, and came away with a unanimous points victory. Round 3 of the Winter BMX Series saw Finlay Cranage race well to qualify in the semi-finals but missed out on the A-final, but finished 6th in the B-final. And to the great wide world, and Tottenham travel to the fearsome environment of Barcelona tonight, knowing that they're going to have to win if they want to go to the knockout stages of the Champions League. While Liverpool, well, they must beat Napoli 1-0 or by 2 clear goals. And finally, Luka Modric won the Ballon d'Or. Is this the end of the Ronaldo-Messi era? And that one is the first one for Tony tonight. So, Mr. Smith, is it the end of the Ronaldo and Messi era? Have we moved on?
No, I don't think so. I think
are they over the hill? Will they be signing for Leeds?
I think there's still plenty of life left in them. But, you know, Luke has always been a class act and deserves his plaudits accordingly. I don't know if he was asked to twerk afterwards, but he did well, the lad.
On the back of a good World Cup or on the back of a decent season?
Oh, yeah, very much so. It's how you perform in the World Cup, isn't it? I mean, because sport these days is what you did 2 minutes ago, not what you did 3 years ago. It's just, there's a great immediacy. That's the problem we have with the longevity of football managers, because they're judged on the last results, not what they've done over the previous 5 years of excellence.
Tottenham are going to go to Barcelona and they've probably got to win. Liverpool have got to beat Napoli. They keep saying this is the Premier League is the best in the world. Two out of the four teams are struggling to qualify past the group stages.
The Premier League is the best in the world, without a doubt, because it's the most competitive. You've not just got two or three teams maximum competing for the title.
But because it's the most competitive, does that make it the best?
Not necessarily, no. But it's deemed to be the best league in terms of competition. I think that Barcelona are already through and therefore they won't really be bothered as much tonight. And I think that's a great chance for Tottenham. And you can't beat European Knights at Anfield. I think both teams are going to excel themselves tonight.
Okay, so Messi's not playing tonight. The team's come through and Messi's name is not in the starting 11.
Hmm.
So basically Tottenham are playing Barcelona reserve. So we'll see how they get on against that.
Yeah, I mean,
worth repeating last night, though, isn't it? the King of the Jungle, had to leave Tottenham to win a trophy. Oh, I like that one. I do like that one.
Yeah, that was good.
It took me most of the day to find a Tottenham fan, but I found one in the end.
There's plenty in Newark.
There seems to be many in Grampton, but I found one. So you reckon they're both going to go through then, do you?
I think it's going to be a great night for English football because they're both very well set. As I say, I mean, Liverpool at Anfield, you wouldn't want to play against them if you were the best in the world. But Napoli are a bit of a flaky team that sort of play when they want to. Barcelona obviously have left Messi out, so they're not bothered a bit. It's a great chance for Tottenham because if Tottenham turn it on, they're actually a very, very good footballing team.
So is that a yes?
Yeah, it is a yes because Keane was left out at the weekend and therefore, you know... Sorry, Kane was left out of the weekend and...
Tottenham had got Roy Keane playing for them, being an awful lot better than they are.
Well, yeah, sadly he's just retired, hasn't he?
Still do a job.
That's Robbie Keane I'm thinking of. He used to play for Tottenham.
It's going to be a long night.
Have we got an off switch?
Yes, yeah. That's the off switch. That's got rid of him for the night. Mark Dobber's been the leading light at Newark Rugby Club since its formation, but... times are a-changing, and we welcome back to Radio Newark Sport, Mark Dobb. Mark, welcome back. A bit evening. Of a foggy trip over from Mansfield for you?
Yeah, a bit eerie at times, actually. Yeah, it took me a bit longer than normal, but we got here, we managed.
How is it eerie leaving Mansfield?
Your mic, damn, permanently.
I let go.
There was a big announcement the other day that I read on Facebook, and it's really said to me it's probably the end of the Mark Dobb era at a Newark rugby club, but I'm rather hoping it's not, and this is why I've dragged you all the way from Mansfield to tell us it's not.
No, it's not completely the end. I'm still putting my boots on a Thursday night, but I just don't want to become... Myself and Claire, we gave the club a season's notice back in September, and the club have announced that we are stepping down, and we're looking for people to come forward to take over the admin for the girls section and the head coach role. But I will be still there on a Thursday night, and I'm just going to be an assistant and do whatever anybody wants me to do, because I enjoy it that much. Claire won't be doing the admin anymore because she's moving into politics. So, don't laugh.
I'm not saying anything. I don't say anything.
Yeah.
She's probably listening.
She is. Claire's moving into politics in our local area, so she's been put forward to be a councillor in one of her areas where she grew up.
I mean, without getting into politics and taking sides, if there's one person I know that could sort out the mess that our politicians have got themselves into, it's your wife.
Well, it's funny, people have said that, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's by the by. Yeah. What I want to do today, Mark, though, or tonight, is just go back over these, was it four, five years?
5 years. Five years.
Over these five years, and let's do a bit of Christmas reminiscing, if you like. And
yeah.
It all started with, well, this is my claim to fame, I say it all started with a trip in here by two or three of you when there was about four in the girls' squad, and it sort of, that's our love affair with the Radio, Radio Newark and the Rugby Club girls began, and it's something that started, you think, yeah, okay, this is pie in the sky, it's going to last 6 months and they'll try and it won't work.
Mm.
It just went out of all proportion, didn't it? Can you go back right to the beginning and when you had this bright idea?
Well, the girls' section was there before I was there. We knew there were a girls' section there. We didn't know how big it was. And, you know, a good guy called Neil was running the section, and he was there, and he had various coaches coming in on a Thursday night working with the girls. And, yeah, and we took Maddie along and I sat in the car and had a coffee and watched. And one particular Thursday night, there were no coaches there. And I got my boots in the back of the car and I decided to get joined in. I had a professional coaching background within cricket and I'd played a bit of rugby and I'd done a bit of coaching down at Mansfield Rugby Club many moons ago. So I put my boots on and I stepped over the white line again to help the girls. Now, we quickly got Mark Staines involved as well, who was a, you know, key member of Newark Rugby Club and his daughter was playing, so we got him involved as well. And, yeah, we went on from there. Eventually, Claire took over the admin role, and that's when it went boom. Yeah, we went from very quickly from six girls on a Thursday night to 30 or 40 girls on a Thursday night. And, you know, we could never... Could never envisage what it was going to be 5 years ago, and certainly the trip that we went on that year, that first year we got through to the national semi final and we got knocked out by Castleford, and then the following year we lost a lot of that team, and the following year we went all the way. And, you know, we're starting with six girls again because we lost so many girls because there were no other age group for them to go into, you see.
We'll talk about the national finals in the second bit of this chat. The other thing I want to mention in this bit of the chat, the whole world of Newark Rugby Club girls was turned upside down one Saturday afternoon. And I've never, Tony said the same, seen such a galvanising effect. And the word sisterhood sort of come out of all this. And I've never known a team look after one of its members who's in trouble like those girls did. And those girls forever should be proud of those, particularly those 12 months.
That, you know, the second year we're all there, we're all new friends, and, you know, to see a team bond together from September, and the night you're talking about was in November, early November, bonfire weekend, and to see that team just weld together, their friendship for life, and the feelings that they had for each other, and the fight that they had for each other, It was always there. They bonded straight away, them girls. The parents have bonded and are still friends, and the girls are still there and they're still friends. But they're not from the same area. They're not from the same school. They're from all over. And, you know, thankfully we have social network, you know, and we don't have a two pence in his back pocket like we used to have, you know. They can keep in touch with each other all the time. And, you know, for one, social network has had a positive effect. So it was just fantastic. And then what happened in early November and the way that the girls responded, the way that the parents and the coaches and everybody at the club responded to what was terrible. A terrible accident was marvellous, and it was brilliant. And I still got the videos now on my phone of the songs that we used to sing every week, and whether it was after training or whether it was with an opposition team on a Sunday afternoon, the songs that we used to sing and then forward them to Howard and Judith for them to play to Victoria was tremendous. And everybody got behind it, not just Newark girls, the whole club, the whole NLD, the whole of the Area 4, as we call it, our Midlands area, they all got behind Victoria, and it was brilliant. And that's a sport having a massive positive effect on somebody's life.
You know, when we talked, Tony, about Warwick this year and the show that we did and what people very kindly say about it, when we first started in these studios, and it was one big open studio in this room, the whole of the rugby club's girls coming after they'd won the national title and sang We Are the Champions and sent it off to Victoria.
I was there, yeah.
You was there. And, I mean, that was just, again, you know, you've got the memory bank. That's another one, isn't it, that sticks in that memory bank.
The whole story is inspirational. And, you know, I've always said right from the start it would make a great film.
Mm.
And but then just to hear Mark say there that I just happened to have my boots in the back of the car, you know, I mean, it's just pure Hollywood. And if ever Johnny Depp puts on a load of weight, he can play me.
I thought he'd got Johnny Depp for Mark. we've got to work out who's going to play Claire. I'm not brave enough.
Say no.
Andrew McDowell.
You're the one that's got to go home.
This fog could be a blessing.
Yeah. How difficult a time did you find that, trying to run a club that's got to play games, the emotions of 30 teenagers, and in the back of your mind, like the rest of us, worry what the next phone call is going to be from Howard Lyon?
I mean, it was devastating, but the girls just knew that they were playing for Victoria. They knew that Victoria couldn't play, and they knew that they were doing their bit. And they never said once that, oh, we're not going to play because we've not got Victoria with us. It was, yes, we want to play for Victoria. You know, Victoria was a fantastic player. She was a fantastic rower, a superb athlete. And I do believe she'd have gone a long way. The girls just wanted to play for her because they know that's what she wanted to do. And, yeah, so they played, and they played for her, especially later on in that year, when we went further and further in the cup competition, the importance of Victoria, when she started to move, first of all, wake, and then we got the message that, you know, the consultants were saying that it's the songs that they think had this real massive positive effect on her. So we continued doing that, and then that final, the two-leg final that we had at Newark, when Victoria, her first day out of hospital, and the first thing that she wanted to do was come and watch the girls. And then when she walked on that pitch with the girls, aided by Judith, and then walked to the try line, put the ball underneath the posts, there weren't nobody getting past us that day.
No.
You know, and to be applauded onto the pitch and applauded all the way by both sets of parents from Old Northamptonians, both sets of players, and the encouragement that, I don't know how many people were there. It sent like 30,000, but there were probably, you know, 30 to 300 there. I don't know. But the emotion of that day was, I've never felt anything like it. You know, you can have the national final where she led us out, but that day, that Sunday afternoon, the emotion, I've never felt anything like it. It was tremendous. And to see her put that ball down over that try line was unforgettable. It, you know, it'll be in there for a long, long time.
More from Mark in a few minutes, but coming up next, it's the Twins. We've just had confirmation from the film company for when the Rugby Club Girls film does come out that Johnny Depp will play Mark's role, and Claire is being played by Keira Knightley. And Mark's cheered up. No, and the smile on his face has to be seen to be believed. It really does. Let's talk athletics. Let's talk to the Twins, who's had a very busy school day today, shopping in York. Good evening, ladies.
Hiya.
Hard day, was it?
Yeah, it was a very hard day. We were looking around York University.
Oh, right. Is that where you're wanting to go?
Not really.
No, right. There's lots. York's got a lot going for it. There's a railway museum. There's a lovely railway station. You don't not bothered about those, are you? Though.
No,
I don't. Youngsters of today, ladies. It's been a couple of weeks, so hopefully you've got a lot to tell me. I'm leaving it to you.
Yeah. So a big well done to Oliver Crampton, who ran the Valencia Marathon with a huge 20-minute PB, coming in 3:25, with a lot more to come. And a week last Saturday, we had the North Mid at Shipley Park Heanor, and Chloe Hubbard had a fantastic race and came first again. And Thomas Hubbard had another good run, and all the training with Chloe's been coming off, and he came 55th, and Tim Bagley came 80th, followed by Carl Braithwaite 140th in the men's race. I came 17th, and Lauren came 18th in the under-17s ladies. And Amelia Crispin had a great race and came third in the under-15 girls race. So it was a smaller team, but we all did really well. And also well done to all the Newark AC athletes who ran in the Lister and Gainsborough district schools, which was on Friday at Netlam. We had third place for Niamh Monaghan in the junior girls, followed by our new member Lucy Jo Patterson and Ellie Richmond. The inter girls saw Ellie Monaghan fifth and Catherine Booth in seventh place, with sprinter Freya Henshaw having a good run. In the senior girls, I came third and Tilly came second. So we had great runs by all. And now we'll be competing for Lincolnshire in the next round. And also on Sunday, we had the sports hall, and a huge well done to everyone there. There wasn't many people, but there was four people, was there? But well done for everyone who took part, and they all had a great race. And also a huge congratulations and well done to Emma Jessup, who was shortlisted in the Volunteer of the Year category at the Newark and Sherwood Sports Awards. Emma was runner-up and received her certificate at Newark Rugby Club this evening. We'd like to thank her for all her hard work and dedication towards the club.
And she received the award from a wonderful dignitary. Me!
Yeah.
When's Big Sister back?
On Friday.
Are you looking forward to Big Sister coming home?
Yeah.
Yeah? Good stuff. Yeah. Because next week, all three of you are doing this report.
Okay.
Well, you don't sound cheerful about that one.
No.
Lovely. And then after that, it's the Boxing Day handicaps to look forward to. But before then, is it Christmas Eve that Newark AC run up to Belton Tower?
Yeah, Beaumont Tower.
And are you doing that?
Yeah, definitely. A
great Christmas Eve session. I can hardly walk up to it, never mind that run up to it. Well, we'll catch up with you next Tuesday, and we'll also catch up with you on Boxing Day on the Scones for a wonderful Newark tradition.
Yeah, we will.
All right, girls, enjoy the new running track.
Thank you. See you later.
See you, bye. The twins there in fine form. Right, a few more national headlines, and then we're going to talk about national finals, England shirts, and oh dear, it just it all got very fantastic. And England have named an unchanged 16-man team for the three test series in the West Indies. Starting next month, Joe Root's team beat Sri Lanka last month, with wicketkeeper Ben Foulkes and opener Rory Burns making their debuts. David Wither returns for the 5-match one-day series starting in February, with Sam Curran, Liam Dawson and Ollie Stone all left out. The prospective cash boost for Premiership clubs must be spent on facilities and not players' wages, the RFU boss Nigel Melville have warned. The clubs are expecting to agree in principle a deal with the private equity firm CVC at today's board meeting. Let's just hope it doesn't go the same way as football. Tell you what, shall we ask Mr. Dobb his opinion on it?
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Mark, it's not going to go the same way as football, rugby, surely. They're going to pump money into it. The Premiership clubs are going to get richer and go further and further away from the rest of rugby, and it's going to be the ruination like has happened in football. Or Is there a lot more common sense in rugby?
I think there's a lot more feet on the ground, definitely. The rugby and money is getting better, let's hope they can keep their feet firmly planted and make sure that facilities are far better for fans to make it a more enjoyable family day. There are some cracking stadiums out there now. You know, I've not been to Welford Road this year. They've spent some money on that, but I know in the past it has looked a little bit tired. People have preferred to go to the Rico now because it's an up-to-date, fantastic facility that is easily accessible to everybody. And Twickenham's a fantastic day out. And if you pick the right day, you can get 2-3 games in one day. Especially if you go, you know, your first experience could be a bar game at the end of the year where it's a little bit cheaper, but you can get 4 games beforehand and a couple of games after. So it's a really good day. And the crowds are, for me, as a family man, are a lot more friendly, shall we say. I don't mind rubbing shoulders with a French fan or a New Zealand fan in a bar and having a little bit of banter without it going over the top. I'd love to see football go that way, to be honest, but I don't think it ever will.
I think football's past the point of no return in a lot of ways.
Mm.
I read an article over the weekend. We talk a lot about mental health issues on the programme. I read an article at the weekend that 62% of former rugby union players suffer from mental problems when they retire, and a great deal of that is for financial reasons. So if they do get a little bit of help financially through the new package, then that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm sure they will treat it with far more respect than the football fraternity.
So national finals, let's go back to that, what was it, second year when you carried on winning and this wave of emotion was there, and I saw it for myself. I can't remember what game it was, but you know, sometimes when you go to a sporting event and you just, oh no, I can't be bothered, and the players seem to be like that, and there was an air of, it's not going to be our day. Even Clare was sort of, oh, I don't know, it's just something around here today. And it was a Sunday afternoon and it didn't seem to be gelling. And Victoria and Mum and Dad made their normal last-minute appearance.
Yeah.
Because Howard, bless him, timekeeping is not the best.
Yep.
And one person's arrival changed the total complexion of the afternoon. And it was amazing. You had to be there to understand what I'm trying to get over. And they sort of walked all over. I think it was maybe even Sheffield. I can't remember.
We were at Chesterfield. We were at Chesterfield and we played a side from Burnley in the first leg. St. Helens Burnley, something like that. I don't know. And we played them. And like I say, Howard turned up 5 minutes before kick-off, and then the girls turned up after myself and the other coaches have been trying to get them all enthusiastic and warmed up and into the game and mentally prepared. And nah, they weren't ready until Victoria turned up. Mm. And well, when she turned up, they certainly turned up. And we had a comfortable first leg victory against the Burnley side. And then we played our old adversaries in Castleford again, who had beat us the year before at the same stage, and that's when Abby learnt to run.
That was when again we sort of because again, you know, and it was brilliant because Mark and Greg was screaming at her just to run the ball out of play because knew it was in front by probably one or two, not enough points. Time was up, so if the ball obviously goes out of play, that's going to be it. But no, Abby then decided to run from one end of the pitch
To the other.
To the other. I mean, she's a lovely girl, but it did remind you of Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You know, and yep. she ran. You know.
And I still told her off for not putting the ball under the post.
Yes.
I have to tell Eleanor off for not running it out in the first place.
And then there was a sort of a, oh, we've just won both games. We're in a national final. It took a bit of sinking in, didn't it?
It took a lot of sinking in. It was like, what do we do now? You know, tremendous day. It really did take a lot. We were all stunned.
You've missed a bit. You know, when you told her off for not running the ball out, and then told her off for not touching the ball down under the post.
Yeah.
What did Keira Knightley have to say about you telling her off twice?
Claire was still jumping up and down, I think.
Claire had actually realised what it meant.
Yeah.
The rest of us was...
Well, yeah, Claire realised how fast she could run. We didn't realise. Claire, being from a running background, had done a bit of work with Abby, and she shot off down there. She was like... You remember Roadrunner? So like Roadrunner going down that, you know, that desert path with that plume of smoke behind. Beep, beep. You know, it was tremendous. It really was tremendous. Yeah, and it did take some sinking in. And, you know, I mean, it's not a big ceremony after the game, you know. You're playing in a Northern final. And, you know, there just isn't a big ceremony. And the one thing that stuck to my mind was that there was a guy there from another club, from out of our area, that we'd played before, and we'd played them the year before, and we'd beaten them the year before, but we didn't beat Casper the year before. And he said, good luck in the final, but you won't beat Winscombe. They're really good. And I thought, well, that's really encouraging, you know. I can't say what I really thought, but that's really encouraging. Thanks very much. And that stuck in my mind.
So
I'm sorry.
No, go on. No, no.
Then when we got to the final and we get us off the bus, this same coach is there watching us. And he said exactly the same thing again. Good luck in the final, but you're not beat Winscombe. They're really good. Oh, okay. Well, you can well imagine what I said to him after the final.
Can you repeat it?
No.
You see, in that final, Newark were the better team. By far and away, Newark were the better team.
Mm.
And it looked like Newark was going to lose because they got a breakaway try about halfway through the second half, as I recall.
Yeah, about 5 minutes to go.
And it looked like that was going to cost us. But through a mixture of their own indiscipline and the referee who'd had enough of them. Go on, last 20 seconds.
Well, yeah, we got the ball. We were in the dugouts. We were, you know, like encamped in our technical area, and all we could see in the bottom left-hand corner was there was infringement after infringement. And you could see the referee wasn't happy. And in rugby, if the referee's not happy, he does something about it. He doesn't continue taking the abuse from players. He told one of the girls to get off. You know, off you go. And I don't think they'd ever come across that before. And they weren't very happy. And, so they gave another penalty away. And from that penalty, Maddie took the ball on, committed the first couple of tacklers, and then popped it up for Jess to probably sent the longest run ever of about half a metre and plonked it down over the line. And and that put us, I don't even know the score, to be honest.
I do know the final whistle.
I just know that she plonked it over the line, it put us in front, and the referee said when she was lining the kick up, it don't really matter, you've won. I say it, done. So she was like celebrating as she was like skipping as she went to kick the ball. We've won. She was like, Dorothy in, in Wizard, follow the yellow brick road. Kick, we've won. And then the tears, unbelievable. I mean, but all the way through this, Tony, I'd got Victoria on my shoulder. And we were kept saying to look, Victoria, you need to go and sit down. You need to go and sit down. No, I'm stopping here. You know, I mean, she couldn't talk then, bless her. You know, but she was going, you know, pointing a finger, and we're on radio now, and I'm moving my hands about.
Great radio, man.
And no, I'm stopping here, and she stayed in that technical area all the way through. But you know, once that final whistle went, there was tears, there was joy. You know, there were jubilation, and there were sulky players from the other side as well.
Yeah. Take some photos, Michael. Michael couldn't take photos because Michael's crying that much.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I just watched out there. I sat in the dugout, and I just watched. And, you know, the effort that them girls put in, the emotion that went into that season, it was amazing, and they deserved it, every single one of them, you know. Every single one.
Then, Mark, you had to rebuild again.
Every year has been a rebuild.
As the age groups, that was under 15s.
Yeah.
And remarkably, took the under 18s to another national final.
Yeah, last year was the second year of having an under 18 side. The year before, we were playing games with 10 players, 11 players, 12 players, and we were coming up against teams and we were borrowing players from them, and we were, you know, we took some hammerings, to be honest with you, with them girls. We were at the bottom end of the age group. We'd managed to pick a couple of girls up that were a little bit older, but were brand new to the game, so they lacked a little bit of experience, but they all came on during that season. But what they did do is they matured, and that tightness of that sisterhood, of what we've always said before, it went all the way through the season. They weren't bothered that they were getting beat by 50 points, 80 points, 100 points, even in a couple of games. They weren't bothered. They knew it was a development year. And then last year, the team come together again. And with a few new faces, let's be honest. And they just went on a... They went on a crest of a wave all the way through the season. They were tremendous. They developed. They played as a team. They encouraged each other. Victoria was still there in the background. Nothing. They deserved every bit of praise that they got last year. They put the work in. They were tremendous. They've always been tremendous. This year they're tremendous. Every year they've been tremendous. Last year was just one of them things. We never thought we'd get up there. We'd watched the final 2 years previous, the under-18s final, and you got England internationals on there, and, you know, and Pulborough were in that final that followed us the 2 years before at Banbury. And, you know, they looked a class side. And they run in tries. I think they played, it was Worcester that they were playing. And they just annihilated them. Worcester are a big club, and they've got a good following of girls. But yeah, the effort that they put in last year in that final, so I can't fault them. And yeah, the scoreline doesn't reflect how much effort we did play, and it says that they had a simple victory. But I'll tell you what, they didn't have a simple victory.
The analogy, Tony, is that Pulborough and Manchester City. Because they cherry-picked everybody from the south of England to come and play for them.
Mm.
If Newark got 15 girls through the gates, then we're away.
Yeah.
They literally cherry-picked everybody. And we had the sports awards last week, fantastic week, but we didn't do our own little wall of honour, which is what we're going to start doing now, until the end of the year, and award our special friends to go on the Radio Newark Sport Wall of Honour for 2018. And for the team performance of the year, it's going to be the Rugby Club Girls in that final, because I have never, ever seen a back-to-the-wall performance like that. We scored, Newark scored early doors, which shocked Pulborough.
Mm.
And for the next hour, the game was played on the Newark try line. Quite literally, the game was played on the Newark try line.
We never got out of our 22. We did twice. We did twice. But Alex got over the halfway line and then somebody shot her in the back of the leg. She pulled her, you know.
Is that allowed?
Honestly, it was like a sniper had just shot her. She went down. And she were clear as well. There were nobody there, were they? But, you know, there's some great things come out of that, you know. I mean, Alex has been talent ID'd by Harlequins and has had contact with them, and they wanted to go down there. And Jess has gone on, and Anya's gone on to greater things, and good luck to them girls too. But all the girls have all developed. They've all enjoyed the experience. They've all... They can all say they played in a national final, and some were winners and some were losers, but at the end of the day, you played in a national final in a competition that, you know, you got 1,500 teams, 2,000 teams playing in nationally.
I cannot think of another team that would have put in a performance like that in the cup final against a team that was as good as Pulborough.
I only had to watch them warming up, you know. It was... You can just see it. You know, what's going off here? What's going off here? They've got moves.
Better go for a quick break, because coming up next, it's Graham and his Striders report. And it's now over to the Newark and Sherwood award-winning club, Newark Striders and Graham Welsh.
Thank you very much. Yes, very proud evening for the whole club last evening. Yeah, we're rapidly finding our place in the heart of the community, and it was a lovely evening, and we're delighted and proud of our award. Coming on to the running news, I'll quickly brush over last week's results, I think, because I wasn't on last week because of the awards, and we had some notable performances, really. So we had 16 Striders over at Skegness for the Skegness 10K, and it's a course with a reputation for personal best times, and it certainly didn't disappoint. 7 PBs and some really good ones on the day. So David Cross, 40 minutes and 51 seconds a PB. Jeff Riley, 52 minutes 48 a PB. Karen Hitchinson, a PB. Matt Patterson. And then the next few, Cass Scott, been trying really hard for a little while to get under an hour for 10K, and absolutely smashed that target to pieces at Skegness with 57 minutes and 27 seconds. So fantastic PB there. And also Nicole Henderson and Sarah Jane Cobb went under an hour for the first time. So really successful time over at Skegness. We also had a really good day over at the Edwin Stowe 10K as well on that Sunday. We had 9 Striders there. Jan Bailey came third, and we had a PB for Becky Cliff, 53 minutes and 28 seconds. Moving swiftly on to the weekend that's just gone, though, and it started on Saturday morning for us with a park run takeover, which isn't as dramatic as it sounds. It just means that the Newark Striders were taking over all of the volunteer positions at the the park run there, so everything from the run director through the marshal, timekeepers, pacers in the event and things. We were doing all that, and we had a great time on Saturday morning along with everybody else at the park run. Then on to Sunday, so we had the Turkey Trot Half Marathon at Keyworth. Just one Strider there, David Cross, 1 hour 35 and 41 seconds. So that's another PB, bearing in mind he just the previous week got a personal best time at Skegness. So he's really in good form, David Cross. Meanwhile, at Bolsover, we had 4 Striders over there for the 10K event. Jan Bailey was the first of our club to finish. He was 11th overall in 35 minutes and 23 seconds. Dave Dews next, 44 minutes and 28 seconds. And then the wonderful Peter Davis, he won his age group, his veteran 65 age group, with 45 minutes and 53 seconds. And a great performance from Philippa Clark. She's in fine form, and a new personal best time for her, knocking 30 seconds off her 10K time, 47 minutes and 29 seconds. An event with a seasonal theme, the Great Sprout Scuttle, up near Doncaster on Sunday. Ruth Mount Stevens was up there running for the Striders. It was, a festive theme, so I think it was Santa costumes and things, and it's an off-road 10K, so it's quite a tough terrain. 1 hour and 5 minutes and 59 seconds for Roof. So in terms of the other things that we've been doing, last night you may have been, if you're out about in Newton, you may have seen various crazy-looking people running around in Christmas lights and dressed as Christmas trees and with antlers on and things. That was our annual Christmas lights run around around Newark. And part of that evening every year is that we draw our two club places for the London Marathon. So I dipped my hand into the hat and pulled out one of the names, and Andy Scott, the club captain, picked out the other one. And the two names that came out were Mark Jackson and Sarah Jane Cobb. So they were very excited, and everybody's very excited about following their journey to the London Marathon next year. Both of them have done marathons before. Mark's an experienced marathon runner, one of the fastest in the club, and Sarah Jane's one of the 20 striders that have done their very first marathon in 2018. So plenty more to come, I think, on that in the coming months. And what's coming up at the weekend? Not a huge amount of events, but there's an interesting looking one that I think a few strides will be there. It's a sold out Newark Showground Christmas Challenge, 2 days. It's an Adam Holland event, and it's various laps, 3.28 mile laps over at the Newark Showground there. 4 laps is a half marathon, 8 laps is a marathon. I guess that Adam will probably do about 28 laps and 3 marathons and things like that over the course of the weekend, but an exciting weekend to come.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, Adam, I must try and catch up with him over the weekend and have a chat with him. I was so pleased that they got recognition that the club deserved for Jackie and everybody, and that was nice. And in 2019, we'll see where Striders go with those two projects, and probably... who knows what else you've got lined up for us, but I'm sure we'll enjoy it. Graham, next week, just want to have a quick look back over the year.
Oh, right, excellent.
So that's your project.
I'll get my calculator out.
Yes, a few stats for next week.
Excellent. I look forward to that.
Thanks, Graham.
Bye now.
Thanks, bye. Graham there, and all the Striders news. So we've talked about National Cup finals, and, you know, we've got Newark... Rugby Club girls in international shirts. Mm-hmm. And now we've got a new Rugby Club girl taking up the realms of refereeing. After she'd given the referees plenty of stick when she was captain, she's now decided to be a referee.
Yeah. Maddie's been refereeing a couple of years, but she started refereeing men's game after a bit of a battle with the old boys. She started doing level 10 games, and we had the joy going up to Stocksbridge on Saturday instead of watching the Derby game, which was a bit disappointing for me, but it was a great experience. I've never seen weather like it. It was horrible, but yeah, she's doing really well. She's doing really well. She gets the regular questions, what do we call you, sir or mom or miss or whatever? She'll just say, come with what you want, I'm not bothered, come with what you want. She got put on the backside twice on Saturday. Once she got in the way, and then the second time she just fell over. She's doing really well, and that's because, you know, she's playing and she still wants to continue playing. But if she goes into if she gets hopefully a wish list and goes into a chosen career, she won't be able to play anymore, you see. Mm-hmm. So we said, right, we'll get you refereeing. And, you know, Claire being Claire, got the courses organised and the games organised. And Maddie's refereeing and she's really, really enjoying it. And, you know, the clubs really do look after her. So, you know, and she enjoys it. And she sees the game from a different perspective. And, you know, I had to referee on Sunday, and from the touchline, I can hear her going, that's the wrong decision. And yeah, right, oh, Maddie, yeah. I know it is, but I'm trying to keep the game flowing, blah, blah, blah.
So what's is the Mark Dobb and Cliff legacy to all this? I mean, as far as I can see, there has been 2 national finals. You've got Jess, Anya, Maddie Coy, but at least all wearing England shirts.
Yeah. That could have been another one as well if it weren't for injury.
You're Maddie on the road now to following Claire in the referee. In the refereeing circles, and you was in charge of a sisterhood which will never ever be forgotten, whatever happens in the next 50 years of Newark Rugby Club. That's what I think the Mark Dodd legacy is. What do you look back at those 5 years and say, this is what I can be proud of?
You know me, mate, I ain't done this all on my own. And there has been Claire behind me, and there has been the girls behind me, and without the girls turning up every Thursday, I ain't got nobody to coach. So you can only coach what's in front of you, and if the girls weren't in front of me, then I couldn't coach them. I've had the other coaches as well, you know, I've had a great team behind me, and now I'm going to be part of a great team. And the legacy is that, yes, we've had two national winning sides, but I'd like to see it as a different. We've built something that people can come to, people can enjoy, and people can get something out of. And for me, that's more. Just as pleasing as winning the national trophy and being part of a national final and having, you know, a couple of thousand people watching you is being up there on Sunday afternoon this week and watching two of my girls take the ball on for the first team, first time, and take it on and not lose it, or take it on and pass it, or take it on and score a try. That is just as equally important for me.
See, it must be so proud. And let's, if you like, go back to the coming of age of Abby Hammond on that afternoon at Chesterfield when she was just starting off on her rugby career, if you like, and she was, it would be cruel to say she was making the numbers up, but she wasn't one of the superstars that was in there. And inside 30 seconds, she turned herself into, who is that there? To, that's Abby Hammond.
Yeah,
she was a star.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's been a star ever since. And, okay, we're losing her now.
Yeah, she's going to Perth. She's going to Perth, lucky girl. But she's going to continue playing rugby out there. You know, Abby had always got that natural speed. She'd always got that natural speed, and she has come from an athletics background.
But the point is, Newark Rugby Club, or whatever the coaches, turned a girl who was just coming along to be part of a group into somebody that everybody said, I know who that is.
Yeah. And, sometimes you can't coach ability. It's just there. And Abby's speed has always been there, but her determination, you can only put so much in there. The first time that I seen Abby was when she run diagonally across a pitch to tackle somebody a few weeks previous, and she tackled this girl 3 yards from the try line, and that is something you can't put in somebody. That is somebody's self-belief and determination.
It is. And Mark, we've run out of time.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. But yes, Mark, thank you so much for the last 5 years. It's been an absolute brilliant ride. Please don't go away. Please,
I'm not going away. And don't be a stranger yourself.
You are part of the Newark
and
Rugby
I'd like
Club
to thank this. Your station and yourself for all the support that they've given me and the girls over the years as well.
I've had a fantastic 5 years. Mark and Claire, please. Stay with me.